SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When it's the dog days of summer, that means just one thing. Time to clock out, sit back, relax.
Shut up!
Yeah.
All right? How about that?
Sorry about that. It's time to lock in for another edition of Moneyline with the two best hosts on radio, Donnie Wrightside.
But it is what it is. Otherwise, if we just ran off a spreadsheet, there'd be no gambling, there'd be no sports books, because everybody would just press buttons and win every single thing they absolutely bet at that point.
And Kevin Walsh.
Even if the matchup's a little worse, Donnie, odds are he's going to bounce back because he's just been too good kind of right now, and he let an opportunity pass him by.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Tuesday morning, people, right here on the Sports Grid Network. No better place to be. The best hour of your day officially underway. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh. And the topic's certainly going to be flowing today. A lot of great stuff to go over. The Olympics, the trade deadline, the NFL. I mean, what? And the Philadelphia Phillies, K-Dub. That's where I'll leave it.
All right. So how about a little trade-off, Donnie?
Okay.
I will trade you... Yankees and Phillies fans were bartering here in exchange for Zach Wheeler being blown up yesterday and the immense help that that is to Paul Skeens' NL Cy Young chances. You can have the remainder of this series as far as I'm concerned. While my Yankees fandom is real, it does not supersede the Paul Skeens Cy Young march. And yesterday was very, very pivotal with Paul Skeens jumping in front of Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, and it's up to Paul Skeens to continue to dominate down the stretch. We're talking about it on the early line a little bit with Skeens. Did you see the three-run home run that missed by a fraction of an inch down the left field line, which, again, would have hung five runs on Skeens, goes foul, he gets the strikeout. See that? I mean, just sometimes it is a game of inches where you say, like, ooh, how did that turn out? Would have been different, like six innings pitched, five runs total, and they end up getting the loss. That ball goes foul. He recovers. Doesn't have a huge strikeout performance, but you didn't need anything. Zach Wheeler gave up seven runs yesterday. You certainly should be ahead of him. And now you have that Chris Sale in the crosshairs, which Chris Sale's an older pitcher. He's been pitching the entire season. Is he going to start to leak oil? Is Skeens going to be able to have that angel reset? I'll go double-double every game and sort of get back into this thing, only to have that double-double, like Angel Reese had, turn into five or six runs for Skeens. But I agree right now. If you're looking for that guy screaming up that board, and rightfully so, should have passed Zach Wheeler because he had a bad night. It's now almost on a start-to-start basis between those three pitchers. That's going to be fun to watch it play out. But my goodness, you got some of those early tickets in your pocket for Paul Skeens. That could be a rocket ship that you're ready to cash in. And also, Pittsburgh staying in the playoff race, winning games, that's even more key as well.
So I'm going to tell you, I've been... I mean, I always am honest with all this stuff, but I'm talking about the amount and everything when it comes to the Skeens stuff.
Yeah.
Because I've told people this, right? The Paul Skeens Cy Young bet was placed so I could cash out. Because at the time he was 200-1 on FanDuel. Mm-hmm. And I think he might have been 60-1 on DraftKings, right?
Yes.
And I was like, man, like you're stealing with a really bad number here. And since I was betting to cash out, right? I bet a $25 on that, which pays you $5,000, which is insane for me, right? Yes. I'm certainly not going to sit here and pretend, $5,000, no big deal, right? That is incredible. Now, as this number was moving, by the time he was to 50-1, I was like, oh, he's actually in the race. I don't know if he's going to get there. But he is even better than I could have imagined. Then he threw the seven innings of no-hit baseball, dropped to 5-1, and everything changed. So for anybody, and there's probably a good amount of people, Donnie, that are holding a Paul Skeens, incredibly, right? 200-1 ticket because he's such a popular player. People were overly aware of who he is. And again, for whatever reason, FanDuel took ages to move that number. And even then, it's not like they moved it from 200 to 5. It was 200 to 100 to 80 to 60, right? So people have probably just great numbers throughout. And if you have that Paul Skeens number, listen, you can ride it till the very end. But what you also need is a three-man race to become a two-man race. And I'm not overreacting telling you that Zach Wheeler is eliminated. What I am telling you is Zach Wheeler is now third, clearly third. And before yesterday, Paul Skeens was third. So it is a huge, huge benefit of what happened yesterday. And, you know, there's just going to be points in time where I'm kind of beating, you know, Donnie's ear on this show and off air, probably like, hey, man, what am I supposed to do here with this whole thing? Because I don't know if I'll let this simple thing ride out with voting being the determining factor, really, no matter what the odds tell me throughout the process.
Yeah, because I have a guy that follows me, and I follow back, named Triple R. This was from July 11th, and he screenshotted out of Maryland, FanDuel Sportsbook, 200-1, Paul Skeens to win the National League Cy Young. $90 pays $18,000 back. Which,
crazy.
Like, and you say right now, like, oh, why don't you just throw like 100? Like, because it's one of those bets that he's a rookie coming up. Where it's like, okay, he has a couple good starts, a couple bad starts, and then he finds himself. Well, he's already out of it. He's not going to win the Cy Young at that point. Like, it's easy to say, like, revisionist history. Oh man, imagine if you put like $500 on that. Like, nobody's going to put $500 on that bet. But he put 90 on it. The payout is $18,000 if that cashes in. I wonder what the cash out value of that would be on his end of the ticket.
Let me see if it's changed on it, because I swear they have not been given it.
Given what? I think, no cash out?
Yeah. I'm going to check right now just to see.
Yeah.
Because I think to some degree they're like, man, we don't want – even if half the people take cash outs, right, they're paying out a little bit of a chunk, you know?
Yes. Yeah, because it's not cash out on it was 10-1, now it's 2-1. It's like, okay, we'll give you a little bit. Like, you would have to give a substantial amount back.
I'm not getting a
200-1 ticket.
Meanwhile, they're giving me a cash out on the Indiana Fever to win the title, Trey Turner to win league MVP, Orioles to win a World Series. All the futures have cash outs, right? I mean, but that one they decided, nah, you know what? I think we'll they're holding.
I gotta be honest. Let's just say if you had that $90 ticket and it paid $18,000, and your cash out off $90 was $1,000 today. Would you take that?
No.
Basically an over 10-1 return that says you're going to make, off a $90 bet, you're going to win a grand, which if you ask anybody, that is an unbelievable return on your investment in gambling. You would sit right just the way it's setting up. Like, where would the cutoff point for you be at that point?
So I'll use my own setup, right? 20, 25, right? It's, you know, $5,025.
Yeah.
I probably would have to get half of it.
Wow.
And then I think I would cash out.
Okay.
At least 40% of it, right, Donnie? Because if I'm telling you that there's a part of, like, I'm someone, right, who I feel like I might hedge the number if it all makes sense to you, right?
Yeah.
But also, Donnie, again, when we look at this race, you know, and you and I have talked about this plenty of times, because I've had the bet, I've wanted your opinion, right? And I know that your opinion has everybody's has, right? Everybody's opinion of the circumstance has changed and developed throughout this process. And I think we're at a point now where they're not shutting this kid down. They aren't shutting him down. You know what? And I'm being serious. I think it's more likely Chris Sale gets shut down, because every Atlanta Brave keeps getting injured. You know, like, I'm not saying shut down for the season, but I'm talking about the Atlanta Braves are like, listen, take the last, you know, two starts off, because we got a pennant that we're trying to chase here, type of situation.
Well, it's the right motive to have, because also you're taking a look at, it would be different as well if Skeens had started March 31st as opposed to June. Now he can go the length of that round. Oh, he's going to put 200 innings on that arm. And it is very important that Pittsburgh continue. You should almost be like a Pittsburgh Pirates fan at this point. Every win and loss matters to you at this point. Yeah. Something fun to watch down the stretch. It's Moneyline on a Tuesday morning here. A lot more hot topics to go. It's Donnie and Kevin right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cash rules everything around.
Olympics. Anybody making dollars out there? Did you make dollars on Team USA 102-76 over Japan? Wilson, 24 points. Stewart, 22 points. Hammered them. Actually, it was a little bit close in the beginning, but a big second half, or should I say a big third quarter, by Team USA pulled away. Nice victory for Team USA. The women here also looking for gold, Kevin.
Yeah, I am. Man, I'm loving the Olympics. We can talk the men's side in a minute, but on the women's side, I did lose a Breonna Stewart straight bet, which it is what it is. The 3-point shooting for that team was terrible, but I did take Chelsea Gray to lead that team in assists over the course of this tournament, and she had 13 assists in game number one. So she's obviously in a really good position for that, which I'm really excited about. You know, but you reminded me, I think Breonna Stewart, here was one of my takeaways. I think that Aja Wilson will end up winning MVP of this team. But I think Breonna Stewart can still lead the team in scoring. And I think that it's, again, if you're out here, you're betting these Olympics, you're looking for different angles. That's one. Let me see if I can find the price here. That's plus 310. See, like, it got worse despite Aja outscoring her. I think it's just very clear to people that it's those two women are the very, very best in the world, and they are continuously flashing in every Team USA game.
Yeah, and then they should roll. And there's no difference in having, you know, Caitlin Clark at the Olympics or not. This team was supposed to roll regardless, so and they're going to start to hammer away. And Aja Wilson, the best player in the world by far for me, 24 points, 13 rebounds, absolutely stellar. I think Bet365, I want to say, had a plus 100 bet boosted to plus 150 on both of those players, Stewart and Wilson, going over 15 points, which I didn't take. But obviously easily getting over that number, both of them in the 20s there. And by the way, FanDuel, I mean, we're not doing any boosts. We're done. What's going on?
They've done 30% profit boosts, like any wager on the games, which I've used personally.
Yeah.
On, you know, some different things, but like I've used it on a straight wager, whatever it might be. But no, they're not doing it every day, which you would think they would, right? You'd think they would do every day at the Olympics. Here's a 30% boost, but that's not what it's been so far. They've done some like SGP boosts for the Team USA games, the men's side, but no, it's not been robust. And that's, listen, we are happy to, you know, talk Olympics. And again, I've been driving the point home, but watching the Olympics, betting the Olympics are different. And as far as betting the Olympics, basketball, basketball, basketball. That's why I locked into this stuff overnight, Donnie. You know, we had a game at 5 a.m. We had a game at, you know, 7:30 in the morning. I had action in both games. You know, I know I'm sending it out to people at 2 in the morning, but also I'm taking the time to stay up till 2 in the morning and go over it and ultimately won both of those bets. Super pumped about that. And so far it's gone well for me, you know, at these men's basketball Olympics with the picks.
Yeah. Watching NBC right now, just the main channel, they have the rugby sevens on. It was Team USA versus
France. Game's about to start.
New Zealand. Japan. France, Japan basketball.
Yeah. Wemby's in action.
What's the
line?
On
the over in that game.
What's the line? Did you bet anything this morning? I saw Spain beat Greece.
Yeah, what was the Giannis other game? Under 30 and a half points.
Wow.
Because it was a huge, exactly, Donnie, right? Like, we're still playing 40-minute games, right?
Yeah.
That number was way too high. He lands 27, which would have been over his game number one prop, right? So that number was still a little bit too high. And then I got another Canada under. It was Canada in their game against Australia. That game gets under that 179 and a half. Canada's continuously played unders. As a basketball team, while there's plenty of offensive talent, those totals just keep getting positioned just a tick too high. Now I'm on France, Japan here over 163.5, though, Donnie. That's the number that I'm involved with here in that game.
Any soccer action today? 1 o'clock start, USA versus Guinea. Favorite here. How about this? Team USA minus 280 price. How about that?
Impressive. Men?
I think they get the dub. Yeah, I think the men get the dub today. I do.
All right, there you go. That's what you've been asking for, right?
Yeah, and I was saying, like, I'm not a mea culpa, but you have to understand sometimes where they play France. France is supposed to be the best team. They hammer them. Now you're not playing the best team, and Team USA actually looks decent. The women's team looking solid as well. I just want to see if the USA can get out of the knockout stage or get into the knockout stage and maybe even to a medal round would be something. But again, just that bad taste in your mouth from France just hammer them right off the gate. Then you realize France just might be the best team overall. So expectations have to be reset. Maybe the Team USA can do some damage in that spot here. Who knows?
Now, I have a question for you with Team USA, because this is the type of stuff that I would expect you to have certainly a take on.
Absolutely. What do you got?
3-on-3.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the men's 3-on-3 team, Jim and Fredette, guys I've never heard of? I mean, what is that about? Now, explain yourself.
Sometimes you read my mind here, because this morning I was just going over the FanDuel Sportsbook, just looking like, not for something specific, but just going over like what the options were. And I saw 3-on-3, and I stopped myself, and I asked Ben and Joe in the background. I haven't heard anything about men's 3-on-3, because I was actually going to ask the question. I know the women have 3-on-3, which are professional players, I believe, and or what? Who is Haley Van Lith on that? So she's not really
Haley
professional.
Haley Van Lith.
But there are professionals.
Ryan Howard was the Atlanta Dream, who was on that team. I don't think it's
Cam Brink supposed to be
think it's perfect,
on that team.
It's
got her
close. Yeah, she was certainly on a variation. I don't know if she was supposed to be on that one, but yes, you're right about that. Like, it's certainly a much better group is being sent on the women's side.
So who is the men's? Who's the team? Jimmer Fredette.
Jimmer
Fredette. We don't have it.
It's legitimately Jimmer Fredette and three guys. I don't know who they are.
Yeah, well, like, why wouldn't anybody in the NBA take that?
I don't know. Like, I actually
retired
think,
NBA players, like the big three they do now.
I'll tell you what, those guys would love it, quite frankly. But my thing is, I understand if like Jaylen Brown and Jalen Brunson don't want to show up to play 3-on-3 because they think they belong on Team USA.
Yes.
But, you know, you go down a couple rungs here. But, you know, you're telling me, I'm trying to go like way low, Don, but you're like
Tyrese
Maxey. I want to go even lower, Don, right? Like, why is Kelly Oubre not playing 3-on-3?
Yep. Kyle Lowry, man. Point guard on 3-on-3.
Exactly.
Dominant
right
out
Kyle.
There. Yep.
Love that.
You get a gold medal. You come home with it at that point. It does make some sense. By the way, people, there's a deadline today. It's the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Is anybody of any consequence going to get moved here today? We'll find out and talk about it next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, right back at it here. Trade deadline day, people. Is your favorite team going to sell? Is your favorite team going to buy? Is your favorite team just going to stand by and window shop? Your window shopper. Some teams are going to do that today.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that song? Is that big back in the day, Queens?
50 Cent, maybe.
Yeah.
Come on
big
now.
Time. But by the way, we did have some big moves a couple days ago. Phillies made a nice move for a closer yesterday. You saw Braves getting Jorge Soler. Astros getting Kikuchi, Brewers getting Montas, Lane Thomas goes to the Guardians, Justin Turner goes to the Mariners, Amad Rosario to the Dodgers. Not huge moves, but some of those moves do make sense. Astros needed a starting pitcher just to get by in the regular season. They get one. Braves stink at the plate. They get a batter. The Mariners trying anything they can do to get offense. They add Justin Turner, and I like the addition of Lane Thomas to the Guardians. I think he's a pretty sneaky good player coming from the Nationals there.
Okay.
But today, Garrett Crochet, Jack Flaherty, Blake Snell, Luis Robert Jr., Luis Rengifo, Yandy Diaz, and maybe even bigger players that could be had. Are you expecting today at 4 o'clock to have a surge of, wow, that was a big move? Or are you going on Game Time Decisions going like, what kind of deadline was that today, man? It's terrible.
I'm thinking, since they said Garrett Crochet is likely to get moved, Blake Snell, Jack Flaherty, I mean, you're looking at three guys that could be the second best pitcher on a contender if the deals are done. So considering they're all being discussed, you would tend to think, Donnie, two out of the three get moved. Safe bet. I think what's interesting is We're not seeing a lot of buzz around big time hitters right now. But, you know, again, we can kind of expand on that. I don't know what you think of this pitching crop, but man, I am buying hook, line, and sinker into this Blake Snell 4-game run up to the trade deadline, because he has looked like Cy Young Blake Snell. Four starts. I think he's given up one or two earned runs in those starts since he's returned from injury. Just struck out 15 batters.
15.
It's easy to forget because of how crazy the offseason was and the fact that he starts these games with a 5 ERA. I mean, this guy's the reigning NL Cy Young. I mean, a world where he could join a staff and be their ace, quite honestly, by the time we get to the postseason.
Let me see about Blake Snell here real quick. So I just want to see his. Did he sign a 1-year deal? What did he sign there with San Francisco? No, I think it was like one of those two. I want to say like a 2-year deal or so, but had like a player option, I want to say. So let's just say if it was like, first of all, what is San Francisco doing? Like Soler wasn't a rental that they got that they flipped at the deadline. Like they signed him to big money. And they just flip him right over at the deadline. You bring in Snell, you're flipping him over. I don't know what they're doing. They just spend money like a drunken sailor over the past 2 years. Remember when nobody would take their money? The Aaron Judge is going to San Francisco. He didn't want it. Correa was going to go there. Bum knee. They tried to get in on, you know, some other sweepstakes over the past couple years. It hasn't worked out in their favor. So I have no idea where they're going. The one that interests me the most, Garrett Crochet, because it's not so much that he should be dealt because the White Sox stink, which quite frankly should be the case. It's the fact that he's now saying, you know what? You want to trade me? I'm going to be a guaranteed starter. Nobody's allowed to put me in the bullpen. I want a new deal. And if you do trade me and I don't get a new deal, I'm not going to pitch that much because I already have a lot of innings on my arm. So you take a look at Chicago, who'd like to say, look, I just want to sell you to the highest bidder here. Now you're giving a list of demands, so that shortens where you can actually go and what's going to take place. Because I do think Flaherty will help a team. He's pitched well there for Detroit. I do think Blake Snell is going to help a team. But Garrett Crochet could help a team, but also, which team can he help? And if he's given demands out already, I mean, who wants to deal with that?
I mean, listen, I understand why, people are like, man, come on now. Like, you have an opportunity to get off of the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, and you're complaining
and
you're
giving
here
demands. But, Donnie, with the position, with the way stuff is for baseball guys, for pitchers specifically, I get it. You have to protect yourself. You have to, Donnie. You do. And at the end of the day, is Garrett Crochet not talented enough to make these demands? I think he is talented enough. And I ultimately, it could very well be in the best interest of the team acquiring him. Yeah. Because, Donnie, you know, we remember the old school Le'Veon Bell thing? But like, you know, man, just run his kid into the ground and it'll be all good because he won't be our problem next year. You know, doing that with a running back is tough, right? Doing that with a pitcher is legitimately dangerous with the way the arms are in today's sport.
Yeah, trade deadline day. Who's going to give it up? Where's Luis Robert going if he moves? Who's the White Sox actually have left in that lineup? Maybe the worst team I've ever seen. What are they going to do, win 40 games this year? My goodness. Other hot topics certainly on deck. I'm just watching right now. 3-on-3, baby. Team USA taking the court right now at the Olympics. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sometimes I don't know if this stuff is live or not, but I assume the 3-on-3 is live. I know the Rugby Sevens that was just on the main NBC network was not live because we had gone over the final on Early Line this morning. So is it live or is this already done? Do you know who won the 3-on-3 or no? Or is it live?
I would think it's live. I would think anything you're watching right now is live.
But it says live. No? But again, that's why like they showed the Rugby Sevens game, which we already knew the final score, and they were playing out there. So I don't know.
Oh, looks like, I guess.
U.S. up 1-0 on Germany. Interesting action at that point. By the way, if you guys want to give a phone call in, you can do that, 844-843-6879. We're always willing to take phone calls. You got any action here on the Olympics? You got any action on the NFL? Somebody just placed a bet at FanDuel. It said Big Bet Alert, Kevin. A $400 wager, money line on the Bears. How about that for Thursday night? Heavy wagers out here, apparently.
So who is playing Thursday, Donnie?
Texans Bears is the Thursday night game.
All right. And
again, we don't know who's playing.
Any Caleb Williams? I imagine absolutely not on CJ Stroud, but are we getting any Caleb Williams?
I would say no, because, and here's the thing that the people have to understand. He's a rookie, you gotta let him play. But you know what that means, Kevin. Like, Caleb Williams isn't playing with the four string tackles on the outside as your major investor. Okay. So if you want to play Caleb Williams, you're playing your entire offensive line. And they probably don't want to do that yet.
Here's my question then, right, Donnie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The answer is probably somewhere within ticket sales or something. Mm-hmm. But we've condensed preseason.
Yes.
Why does the Hall of Fame game, which in theory should kind of be like a bit of a big
center
deal
stage
relatively to preseason, should be treated with care and, you know, respect. Why does it get the short end of the stick? Why is it the bastard child of preseason where we're like anyone that drafted within the first three rounds of the last like two seasons isn't even going to step on this field because, I mean, come on now. It's the, like, we're not doing this. Like, why would we do that? Why would we get off on such a bad foot?
But I just think people would watch it anyway because it's the first one and they don't actually care who plays, like the public itself. You just want to see football on your screen. So I hear that you probably want something better, but you can never guarantee that anybody's going to play really anyway at that point. And you're right. Like, preseason used to be four games. I mean, way back in the day, it was like six or seven games. But obviously, the most recent was four games. And they sort of played, you know, a little bit in game one. This is, you know, dating back 20 years. You know, let's just say quarter and a half, game number two. Game number three was the dress rehearsal. You played even into the third quarter. Fourth game, nobody played. Now it's turned into, oh, we're going to cut it down to three games, and nobody's ever going to play in the three games. Which, the only reason that preseason football still is here is not because coaches want to get game film. They don't care about the game film of the actual preseason game because you're not even getting any, let's just say, you know, hey, we're going to study up on film to get ready for this preseason game against the Steelers. Like, nobody's game planning for those games. So the fact that we still have preseason games is just because they can hold you hostage as a season ticket holder and say, yep, that's included in there, and that's 100. What's your ticket? Well, game day for when the Dallas Cowboys come to town regular season? Oh, $150? It's $150 when you get to the preseason game where nobody's going to play. They're never going to pass up 80,000 seats sold, even though it's a bastardized game that they try to give you here. Now, in the hopes in the future, maybe you don't have preseason, but then again, what are you going to watch on TV? So beggars can't be choosers at that point. So I technically can't stand the preseason, but I know why, as a business, the NFL still keeps it together. But I am looking forward to, I told you yesterday, like, the kickoffs are what I'm looking forward to most, just to see how they play out in the preseason. And then I'll probably get really bored after like the first quarter or the second quarter. And typically I get bored after like the third play when it's like, okay, what's the goal here? Quarterback I never heard of, running back I never heard of. We're going to keep on running it into the middle of the line. Yeah, let's get out of here on this game.
I mean, again, like, that's the thing. It's like, nobody even wants to be there.
No,
like, there has to be a way around, like, at least there's portions of the... I'm just saying, why can't the Hall of Fame game be week two of the preseason? Because the team would lose the gate? Like, I don't know, man. Get over it. Like, that, what I'm saying... I understand why we do preseason. What I'm saying is the Hall of Fame game is also the least important preseason game by a lot.
Yeah. By the way, do we have any? Is there something going on in the background right now? What do we got? Is there a mystery caller coming in? Don't you hear the back? Oh, I thought it sounded like a caller was about to get put through at that point. Yeah.
I don't hear a thing. Maybe that's a direct line to you.
Maybe it was, but I guess nothing is there on the back end. But again, if you want to call in, we are here to take those phone calls here. Yes, the NFL is going to be on deck today. We have the trade deadline. And for me, I look at the trade deadline, just a quick point on that. So I've been waiting for the past couple weeks. Like, well, Kev? You know, the Dodgers. The Dodgers, there's going to be three star pitchers out there. They're going to get all three of them, and they're going to load up, which is why they're the favorites.
Yeah.
Me as a Phillies fan, you as a Yankees fan, if you are a Baltimore Orioles fan, I'm just talking about the Cleveland Guardians, let's just say as well. You are looking at this trade then and actually saying to yourself, if nobody made a deal of those top five, six teams, and the deadline passed today from now, you would like that. The Dodgers would not like that because I actually, like, when I hear, like, oh, Scooble's on, like, you know what? The Dodgers are going to wind up with Scooble and Crochet at the deadline just because of the embarrassment of riches. So from a fan perspective, I'm sort of hoping in one way that it's a fun deadline. But on the other end of it, if nobody gets traded, I'm like, good, the Dodgers can't be favorites now. Like, that's honestly the way I look at it.
Yeah, I get it, right? Because we know that they're always looking to do stuff. Now, they did some stuff yesterday, right? Like, I think some of these teams got some stuff done before the actual day just so they could make sure they got some stuff done, you know?
Yes.
With
the teams are holding
Chisholm,
out.
Like, right?
Players are holding out right now. Like, yeah, like, oh, Robert, you want him? That's going to take your best prospect. Today at 3:45, look, we'll take your eighth prospect, brother. Just send me something if I can get rid of this guy. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Which, you know, is, oh, man, speaking of prospects, there I have a crusade now that okay. I am telling myself I will keep track of, but I probably will mm-hmm. not. You mentioned the Phillies acquired a closer, if I'm not mistaken, yes. from the LA Angels, right? That was their
Correct.
Deal?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And a certain reporter, everyone knows who, really made sure to point out how good the return was for the LA Angels. And in fact said,
yeah.
if you're going off of prospect rankings, yeah. you don't know ball. Awesome. Great. Cool. I cannot wait. I cannot wait now for the Phillies to have won that deal in an absolute mm-hmm. rout when the guy they acquired pitches postseason baseball. Mm-hmm. And it is more likely that the guys acquired by the Angels never even get major league reps.
Yes. And just to counter that point from a Phillies perspective, just to put it all in there. There was a trade the Phillies made for Roy Halladay, Kevin. They gave up like seven pitchers or seven players. Kyle Drabek was the son of Doug Drabek, the best prospect in the Phillies organization, a can't-miss talent. He came to the major leagues, Kevin, blew his arm out immediately. You never heard from him again. Roy Halladay goes on to a Hall of Fame career and was fantastic. Now, if you want to even skip it forward, you take a look at some of those prospects and you say to yourself, who's going to amount to anything? And that prospect that they gave away, this George Glasson or whatever it is, single A pitcher, a few years away from Major League Baseball. You're trying to win a World Series. You get the best leverage arm that's out there. And there are people always going to say, you can't give that up. If you're in the window to win a World Series, when is the time to do it? Because you're going to wait on that guy to come up in 5 years when the Phillies are outside their window with Bryce Harper. What did you do at that point here? So I understand, like, you never want to lose it so badly. Like, what was the one for the Chicago White Sox? It was Big Game James. Big Game James Shields. To Fernando mm-hmm. Tatis was in that deal with the Chicago White Sox. That's who they gave mm-hmm. up there to the San Diego Padres in that trade. But you say to yourself, like, man, that was a terrible move. What have the Padres done with Fernando Tatis? Like, what are we talking about? Like, if your window is now and you're getting a solid player, what are you waiting for?
What? I mean, Tatis had a PED suspension, a motorcycle accident. Right. He switched out to playing yes. outfield. And I like Fernando Tatis, man.
Yes, me
and
too.
And again, like, that's the example of, oh, man, what a mistake. Like, that's the example. Like, I right. cannot believe we do this every year where we go, man, I cannot. The other day, yep. man, I cannot believe how well the Nationals did in that Lane Thomas return. Yeah, with three kids, that'll get a
they
combined
got
200 at-bats.
30th prospect
in
the 50th prospect here, never to be heard from again. Juan Soto, I think he's working out pretty good in the Bronx right now for Michael King, by the way. We'll be right back. Keep it rolling on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Question time for old K-Dub here. The reason why I bring that up is each and every morning on the early line, we have a Fade the Public poll. This one was an interesting mm-hmm. one. I think Kevin is going to be able to guess because I knew it right away who was going to be in first and who was going to be in last here. And the question was, which quarterback will win a Super Bowl first? There were four guys that you got to pick from. Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa. Can you guess who was first, which means more people voted for this guy to win the Super Bowl first, and who is the least quarterback to get voted to win a Super Bowl?
I voted in this poll.
Ah.
So I know who was first.
Ah, yeah.
And I think I remember who was last. Mm-hmm. I did not vote for, again, if my memory is correct,
mm-hmm.
either guy to win a Super Bowl first. I don't know who you voted for in this poll.
Uh-huh.
But I voted for Trevor Lawrence of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Wow. Okay. I voted for Jordan Love. I figured you would have went Jordan Love. Now, who came in last, though, before we get back to Jordan Love?
Good old Dak Prescott.
10%, man. 10%, and they nailed it. And I was trying to explain it to Ben. Like, Ben wasn't confused by it. Like, he agreed. But I was like, you could have put, like, the Dallas Cowboys, it could have been Patrick Mahomes, but just got traded to the Cowboys. Mahomes would have got 10% because the Cowboys just can't win anything. So I was telling people, like, if Dak went to a new team, say, hey, you know what? He might have a legitimate chance to win the first Super Bowl here. But the fact that he's on the Dallas Cowboys and they never can win, it's just like everybody had that same notion. Like, I'm not voting Dak Prescott here because he has no chance. I'd rather have Tua, Lawrence, and also Jordan Love, who came in first.
I actually, that's really interesting that that's your takeaway on it, because if you promised me Dak was staying in Dallas, then I would consider him a lot more. Because they still have year-in, year-out competitiveness. Like, Donnie, Kirk Cousins, do you think Kirk Cousins is going to go win, like, at a high level in Atlanta? Right?
No, like, but I think they can win the division. Like, because Dak, and again, I was prefacing by saying, like, they're going to get 10-plus wins, Dallas. But the minute they get to the playoffs, they just shrink and they can't win. But I just look at, like, the whole pedigree of that team, where also coming into the season, let's go all in, Cowboys, right? With Jerry Jones. We're all in, and away we go. They do nothing. They don't even sign their players and just piss their players off. So that also added into me while I was like, yeah, nobody's voting for Dak, specifically this year.
I guess my point is, though, Donnie, this year, right, Super Bowl odds, Dallas is first of that bunch. Now, you can tell me that you wouldn't order them that way, but of the group this year, Dallas is first. My thing is, if Dak goes, where is Dak going? Giants? Maybe? Like, is that going to work out?
Yeah, I think that's such a tough one too. Like, where would Dak go? Because I don't.
Niners?
Is anybody gonna say, like, hey,
I doubt it.
Probably not with the way they're structured. But like, Dak is at the point of his career where he's gonna be the highest paid quarterback, right? Because he's just next in line. That's what's gonna happen. If it's not with Dallas and he just goes as a free agent somewhere, like, who's paying that money? You know what I mean? Like, what? Like, again, we said, like, the Giants, like. Wouldn't you laugh at the Giants? Like, wait a second, they're going to pay Dak $70 million a year on that team? And like, what is it going to do? Okay, maybe they'll get 9 wins, maybe 10. Like, it's almost like Dak makes so much money next year that he has to go to, like, an instant contender. Like, Tua Tagovailoa gets injured, he can never play again. The Dolphins like, so what? I got a rich owner. We'll absorb that and get Dak Prescott in the offseason. Like, it feels like it has to be one of those teams. Like, Aaron Rodgers bails out of the Jets. Like, he would go to the Jets. Like, But I don't have a team like, yeah, you know what? He fills right in there. Oh, Patrick Mahomes gets injured. Like, it's easy to say that. Like, where does he go? Like, the Raiders overpay for him? Like, who gets him?
Okay, so just going off the top of my head as I can, right? Like, who's locked into their quarterbacks? So you're right. The Jets would be a legitimate spot if Rodgers retired at season's end, which isn't impossible. That AFC North, I don't know how committed they are to this Russ Fields thing. And if they are, then that division is probably kind of bottled up. The AFC South, you absolutely could see the Titans be in the market for a quarterback if Will Levis doesn't work out this year. And then from the AFC West, you're right to bring up the Raiders. I don't think Denver would be given that window to give up on Bo Nix that quickly. Sean Payton, big quarterback. But I don't think that's how that's going to go, right? But yeah. Okay, so in the AFC, you got three teams, arguably, with New York and the Jets, the Titans, and then maybe the Raiders. NFC, you run through it. Again, I think the Giants are on the board. We're removing Dallas because Dallas is giving him up in this instance. NFC North, I think everybody's really locked into what they have there. NFC South, more movements on the board, right? We think they are going to be sticking with Baker. That's what we believe. But you never know. Bryce Young, you never know. Derek Carr, honestly, you never know. Falcons are absolutely eliminated from that kind of conversation. I doubt the Niners take that type of risk. I don't think Cardinals realistically are moving off of Kyler for Dak Prescott. Seattle, I could see it. Does Stafford retire? Again, there's a couple of spots where he needs people to retire. But you can probably compile a realistic 3-18 list, Donnie, for Dak. But again, he needs help for those spots to open up, right? outs. But yeah. Again, you would think that at least three teams would be legitimately interested in him coming in.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think. And by the way, we went over today the AFC South, which is such an interesting division. And I'll set this up. We got another segment, but obviously Texans, Jaguars, Colts, and Titans. I looked at that Texans number at 9.5 and said, oh boy, that is a sharp number. Because the Texans last year went 10-7. They added Stephon Diggs to offense, Danielle Hunter to defense. You're looking for them to take the next step, which you would think would mean double-digit plus in winning that division. And I love the fact that the FanDuel Sportsbook is holding that 9.5 because there's not too many casual bettors that go, yeah, you know what? Houston Texans going to be an under team. But if I'm looking at teams that I think are so interesting this year, it's not the top of the heap, Kevin, in the AFC South. It's the bottom. 6.5 number on the Titans. They spent money I don't think is smart, but to get 7 wins, I think it actually makes some sense here, and I think it might be a decent bet. That is an interesting division from top to bottom. We'll talk about that a little bit coming up next. It's a Tuesday morning right here on the Sports Grid Network. Keep it right here, SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. Tennessee Titans. Yeah, man. How about them Titans, K-Dub? 6.5? 6.5. I look at the offensive line, if they can get competent play. Calvin Ridley, wide receiver on one side. Other side, Hopkins. Tyler Boyd in the slot. Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears in the backfield. If Will Levis, and I'm not saying he's a top 10 quarterback, top 15 would put him average. If Will Levis can be a top 20 quarterback, how can they not win 7 games with that team?
Well, the answer might be in the question, though, Donnie. Are you sure that you have Will Levis pushing top 20 quarterback status? That number sounds
in the NFL.
Is there? Where do you think you would soft rank Will Levis right now?
I don't have the list in front of me.
All right, so let's just pretend, Donnie. Do you think that you would have him inside your top 25 if you had to guess?
I'm trying to feel like, because maybe a better way to talk about it is like, can you get like a Geno Smith type season out of Will Levis? Manage it, make a play here or there. I got weapons around me all over the place. Like, why can't this team win 7 games?
Okay, so side note, I think it's a fun look. I actually think that that's, it's exciting, right? Instead of kind of, and I think it, listen, I think this is how we all are, right? You and I talk AFC South the second the season ends. It's got to be Texans. We talk it in May, right around the draft, you know, back in April. It's got to be Texans.
Yeah.
We now are getting closer, more research, more information. Listen, man, I'm not worried about that. Let's buy low on the Tennessee Titans, right?
Yes.
Like, that's when you know that kind of more and more and more, and that's how we all are, 1,000%. What's really interesting to me with that Titans team, Donnie, is you're right. There isn't as a desire to be awful. It's just some teams are expected to be awful, and Will Levis is that swing piece, right? I think there's a world that you could certainly be getting some juice on buying low on that Tennessee Titans team. I think, again, it's going to be where you land on Levis, though. It is. They gave him weapons, right? I mean, Hopkins and Ridley's not a bad one, too.
Hopkins, Ridley, Boyd, you go out and sign a free agent running back. You get Snead on defense at cornerback. Like, and the reason I brought this up was, I don't think they spent money wisely, because they spent money as if we're going to make a playoff run. And I don't think they're there yet. But I also think that they might say to themselves, which I now would never fault a team for this, I need to evaluate Will Levis. What's better? 3 trash can wideouts and a bum running back to say, I can't play. Yeah. Or I'm giving you every tool you need, which includes an offensive coordinator as a head coach that's going to throw the football. Let me see what you have. And it's 17 games. Like, that is, there's talent on that team that should be able to win 7 games. based on what they have, which just means Will Levis just can't be a really bad quarterback. Like, wow, this guy just can't play. And it's fun because, again, I think there's that happy medium of really good teams that we're watching out for. Jacksonville, I think, has a bounce back year. I think Houston still is going to be good because the expectations are higher, but they also made some improvements in the offseason. Yep. But I always like the bottom feed at times. And I look at this and I laugh because, again, I don't agree with the moves they made. I thought they still should have been like, hey, look, stack draft picks up here, get that cap space. When we find the quarterback, like, we're going to go all in. Like the Chicago Bears are going to try to do, like, hey, look, everything hit at one time. Let's see what we can do. But they spent money and spent it pretty well on wins. But I don't think it equates to much. But again, I still think it equates to 7 wins, though, in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to can I pull up last year's schedule quickly? How many teams? So you had last year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So 7 teams last year didn't get 7 wins. They were one of them, but they were 6-11. You know what would be the selling point against Donnie? And you know this. Like, I'm not there yet to give you a definitive answer. Would be a drop-off in coaching, which I think you would fully – you knowing what you think you're able to expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be the
concern. I still think you get – but you it was always like, hey, this team can't pass. Now, all of a sudden, they should be able to pass. And the coach, obviously, is in connection with the general manager. Like, hey, I'm coming over. Like, we could very easily just tank this season as an evaluation. But if you want to win, give me a couple wideouts, get me a running back, and let's get after this thing. And that's what Rand Carthon did. He went out and got him a couple wideouts, a couple running backs that are talented, and away they go. We'll see if it means wins and losses. I don't think they make the playoffs. I think they'll be one of those teams that you can pencil in for 6-7 wins, which basically is going to give you that team total over. That'll do it for today's show on a Tuesday. Keep in mind, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, same time. Your boy Donnie Wrightside will be on a solo mission. K-Dub off for a little vacation. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh, thanks for tuning in to Moneyline. See you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.